Grant thy people, we beseech thee, O Lord, to shun the defilements of the devil, and with pure hearts to follow thee. That is the message in particular of the collect of today's Mass. And of course, we wonder why would we have this right at the beginning of Mass. In a sense, it seems negative, seems scary, but if anybody knows anything about the spiritual life, he or she would know that we are surrounded by demons, by the devil and his minions, and they are continuously seeking to destroy us. And so the Church beseeches Almighty God to protect us from the devils, from all the evil that they bring to us. And the problem is, people usually think, well, you know, you have the little image, which may be true to a certain degree, but it's not really, of a little devil on one shoulder and the angel on the other. And the devil's, according to this kind of mentality, is always trying to get us to do horrible, horrible things. Of course, the angels, our guardian angel in particular, whose feast we just celebrated, is pulling us in the opposite direction and protecting us. But you know, most of the temptations of the devil, of Satan, are not horrible, horrible things. They are very subtle. They go underneath our skin and into our hearts and try us to destroy that which God has given to us. The life that we have received at the baptismal font, the sacraments that we receive, and the very, very important, necessary unity that we have in the Church, in Christ Jesus our Lord. And of course, all of us, and I hope there's no one that isn't, but if there is someone that isn't, then that's your loss, are very devoted, especially here in this shrine of Our Lady of the Rosary of Fatima. We are very devoted to the Holy Mother of God, the Immaculate Conception, the ever-Virgin Mother of the Son of God, and through her, the Son of Man. And we always need to call upon her, along with our guardian angels, to help us to defeat the evils of the devil. A lot of the times, I'm afraid, the devil tempts us with us trying to be holier than others and trying to point out the evil of this one and that one and that we are better than others. That is the sin of pride, the worst of all the sins, the original sin of Satan, of he who was but is not Lucifer. And so we need to be very careful with the temptations of the devil and his minions that are always around us, surrounding us. Right now, they're right next to you. I can see some of them. I can see some right here and right here. But I also see the angels. Do not for one minute think that God is going to abandon us. Now, if you forsake God, then that's your problem, your loss. And there's nothing we can do. I can pray and pray and pray and suffer and suffer and suffer for you. But if you don't follow Christ, that's it. And the future is very, very dismal. But here we see also some of these very same temptations in the Gospel. And who are the ones who are, in this case, are tempting Christ himself, for heaven's sakes? You know, you may think you're very important because the devil tempts you. Well, the devil, through these people, tempted Christ himself. And Christ baited them. Now, who is it? How is it that Is he, whose son is he? Whose son is Christ? And we see it, especially on Palm Sunday. Son of David. Hosanna to the Son of David. So he is the Son of David, the king whom they had in such high esteem. And then our Lord says, well, how is it, if he is David's son, how is it, and this takes place in several places, especially the Psalms, how is it that David calls him Lord? Now, who of you calls your children Lord? I mean, unless you're crazy or have partaken of too much of the good Lambrusco, then that's ridiculous. David calls him Lord. Now, why on earth does he call him Lord? The Lord said to my Lord, sit on my right hand until I make thy enemies thy footstool. God is speaking. King David, Saint David is speaking. And of course, here, Jesus is intrinsically involved. He is the Son of God, but he's also the Son of David. How is he the Son of David? Who is his mother? His mother is a descendant of David, of the house of David. So, it is through Mary. And, you know, always, and from the very beginning of the church, the Blessed Mother has been regarded as the destructress of all heresies. All heresies. Any heresy that you find something in there, and you find something in there against Mary and against Jesus. And Mary is there, as we see her in the depictions of the Immaculate Conception, with her foot on the head of Satan, the tempter, the serpent, from the Garden of Eden. It is through Mary that Jesus is the Son of David. And it is through Mary that we have access to God. And it is through Mary that we have protection against evil. And a lot of people, especially the heretics, and I'm not going to mention who they're, so many of them, we could never end the Mass then. Do you answer one after the other, after the other? Unfortunately, including some who are bishops and priests. We won't go any higher than that, lest we close the parish down. But there are some, they deny the importance of the role of Mary in the history of salvation. But it is important, necessary, essential, that we realize that it is the will of God. It is not the invention of some pious little priest or theologian here or there, or some little nun in some monastery that thinks she's having visions. Maybe she is, maybe she's not. Most of the times, it's a negative situation. It is the will of God that Mary, from the very first moment of her conception, is immaculate. And why is she immaculate? Is it some kind of a nice new necklace that Jesus is giving her? She doesn't need necklaces. You may, but she does not. It is something that is essential to her very being, to her very soul. There is no touch of sin. No moment, not even a thousandth of a second, in which Satan had possession of her immaculate soul. Why? Because she is going to give life through her immaculate body, which is connected, of course, to her soul, just like yours is. If your body is not connected to your soul, then you might as well call the undertaker. Bye-bye. Not so for Mary. It is essentially united. And she is immaculate, body and soul, so that she can give birth to the Son of God, who cannot be in any way related or touched by Satan. And that's why it's so very important to have devotion to Mary. The more devotion you have to her, the more protection you have against Satan and his minions. And who is not tempted in one way or the other? There's not a one, except for Mary, Jesus, and Joseph, and St. John the Baptist, who were rendered immaculate at different points after or during their conception. The Blessed Mother and Jesus, right at the very moment. All the rest of us have temptations of all different kinds. You know, how many times we would like to say, oh, I'm going to like to punch that idiot in the nose. You know, I'd like to see some blood. We are stupid. We are humans. That's the way it is. Jesus, Mary, and Joseph, and St. John the Baptist did not have this. Of course, we need their intercession, their help. But the reason for Mary is a reason for salvation. And of course, some would say, well, in that case, she's not saved by Jesus. We don't say that. Everything that happens to Mary to make her the Immaculate Conception is by Jesus. So those who are heretics, who deny these truths, they're wrong, totally and completely wrong. But they're united, always, from the moment of her conception, from the moment of the time which she agreed to the request from God the Father through the Archangel St. Gabriel to become the mother of the Son of God. Let it be done unto me according to thy word. And at that moment, the angel left her. Why did he leave her? He could not stand to be in the presence of God and his mother, of God and Mary, the ark of the new covenant, the source of our salvation. So our Lord then answers back to the Pharisees. And now, mind you, this is the 22nd chapter of St. Matthew's Gospel. This is close to the Passion. And it says at the end of this pericope that the Church gives to us, of course, like always, no man was able to answer him a word. They were all rendered silent. And it says, neither durst any man from that time forth, from that day forth, ask him any more questions. He had already answered everything. And they understood, though they did not like it, and they were rendered silent. Through the word of God that comes to us, through the Immaculate Conception, let it be done to me according to thy word. And the word was made flesh. And the word dwelt amongst us. And the word was with God. And the word was God. Alleluia. In nomine Patris et Filii et Spiritus Sancti. Amen.